Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
I want to talk about blessings, but and the blessings that God wants to pour into our lives. But also, we're going to expand that this morning and talk about how those blessings can flow out of us into other people's lives, because I believe that that's part of what God intends to happen in our life. Little boy was praying at night, getting ready for bed, and he said, his mom was there beside of him, and he said, God bless mommy and daddy, and God bless me and give me a new bicycle. His mom said, honey, God is not deaf. The little boy said, I know, mom, but grandma's in the other room and she's hard of hearing. This little guy knew where his blessings were coming from, didn't he? You see, God uses us to bless people, but he uses people to bless us. That's the cycle that he has established, the sowing and reaping principle that's in the Word of God. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And when you sow blessings into other people's lives, you also reap those blessings. It's so good to recognize that God has established these things. But we have to keep our focus on the blessings. The things that we encounter in life can take our focus off blessing. The giants, the mountains, the valleys, whatever you want to call them, those things can take our focus off the blessings that God has given us and cause us to focus on those rather than on what God is doing. You know, when the children of Israel, Moses sent the spies, the 12 spies, into the land, the promised land. He said when they came back, they all agreed that the land was full of milk and honey. And the fruit was wonderful. But Joshua and Caleb, of course, they said, we can go in and do this. But 10 of them got their focus off the milk and honey and the grapes that were the size of softballs and started focusing on the giants. And when they focused on the giants, fear started to rise up inside of them. So this is very important that we keep our focus on the blessings that God has given to us, because it is so easy to get focused on the giants, the mountains, and the things that we encounter on a daily basis. God is truly blessing His people. We are a blessed people. Here at Bethel, I believe we are blessed when we come in and blessed when we go out. I believe we're blessed wherever we go and whatever we do. We're blessed. And I'm going to keep speaking that over this congregation. It's powerful. Those words are God's word, and it's powerful to us. John 7:38 says this, He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Heart is innermost being, the Hebrew word here. It means belly, figuratively, that the heart or our inner part of us, of who we are, spirit man. And flow means to run. It's going to flow out of us. It's going to run out of us. And, of course, water is waters in a river or a fountain, pools. It's talking about fresh, clean, thirst-quenching water is going to flow out of us. And where does it go? It's supposed to go into other people's lives. That's the flow. It's flowing out of us because we're full of it and overflowing like a river that's overflowing its banks. It goes places that sometimes, you know, it wouldn't go otherwise, but it goes out into fields and meadows and places that are touched by that water. And usually when there's a river, the ground around that river is very fertile because the banks do overflow. Flooding is just part of what a river does. One of the things about the Nile during the time of biblical times was it would flood every year. And because of those floods, the ground around it, the acreage around it was very fertile because it would deposit the silt in that ground. So the river is not supposed to just maintain its flow. It's supposed to overflow in our life. Yes, praise God, it flows into my life. I thank God for those blessings. But if that's all that happens, I'm a very miserable person because I'm just hoarding those blessings. Remember the parable that Jesus talked about where the man had over an abundance of crops. And the man said, well, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns so I can store up all this stuff. And Jesus said, you fool, your soul's going to be required of you. He was thinking more of himself. You know, he had more than he needed. And that's with us. Sometimes we have more than we need, and we need to let that flow out of us, let that blessing flow out into other people's lives. If we're going to sow and reap, that's the only way to do it, is to let it flow. It must flow out of us. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I believe that's blessings. Deuteronomy 8:18. We all have heard this scripture many times. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Wealth is the Hebrew hayel. It means strength, efficiency, wealth. And it can even mean an army. It means power. Let me read this to you out of the New Living Translation. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. So the purpose of God making us successful and allowing us to have these blessings in our life is to do more than just make us feel good, is to establish the covenant that God has given us. And what is that covenant? The covenant is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. So what our responsibility is to flow, is to allow that river to flow out of us into other people's lives so that we can have an opportunity to share Jesus with them. That's what it's all about. So that they can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that cycle continues. They begin to flow. They begin to be filled and overflow and flow into other people's lives. This is an awesome cycle that is supposed to be taking place in the body of Christ. However, in many places, not this place, I'm so pleased that we have so many people are allowing the flow, the river, to flow out of them and to flow into other people's lives. You're doing an awesome job. And I'm talking about this morning just to encourage you and to let you know, hey, don't give up. Keep doing it. There's going to be more opportunities. So look for those opportunities to allow that fresh water to flow out of you and flow into other people's lives. God has always intended for his people to be blessed and be a blessing. That, you know, he spoke that in the Old Testament, and he speaks it in the New Testament. I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If we get things in order, if we recognize how important it is for our soul to be prospering, our innermost being to prosper, then we can expect God to prosper us in everything that we put our hands to. And then those blessings are to flow out into other people's lives. It's our Heavenly Father that gives us efficiency, useful resources for life. And these resources are meant to be used in part to bless other people. In their 2006 book published by Group, two men, not sure how to pronounce that one guy's name, Susie, you may know, Steve Sogren, and the other one is Dave Ping. They call what I'm talking about this morning outflow. And the reason that I'm talking about this is that probably 10 years ago, Susie gave me a book called Outflow. And it was one that I believe that the church in St. Albans was studying and encouraging everyone to read. So I would encourage you to get that book because it has some really good principles in it. But I'm going to share some things with you this morning. They say that outflow is outreach like you have never experienced it before. I believe that we can always increase our outreach. Now, you know, we've been doing some things. We did, thanks to Susie, we did some stuff at the school for the teachers, for the bus drivers. There's always opportunity for us to reach out into the community. What we want to happen from our church perspective, we want this community to look at us and say, if that church ever closes down, this community will be worse off. Yes, you know? Yes. This community would suffer if this church closes down. We want the community to see that. Now, I'm not talking about compromising our message. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about carrying the message, but doing it in such a way that we love and reach out to our community. Blessings. Blessed. And let those blessings flow out of us. According to studies in human flourishing conducted by Harvard University, there are four common important pathways that have powerful effects on individuals' lives and their ability to flourish. And we all, you know, that's what we're talking about here, people flourishing. That's what blessings are, flourishing. There, these four common pathways must be, all four of them must be present in a person's life. When all four pathways are there, an individual is healthy, and the individual's physical and mental health is stable. Those four pathways are the things that we believe. Family, this was a study by Harvard, remember. Family, education, work, and a religious community. When you have those four things in a person's life, good, positive things, people flourish. I believe that's why this church is flourishing. I believe that's why you flourish. It's because you have these things. For the most part, we have these things. We have stable families, and we're working on establishing more stable families. We have education. We're being educated on the Word of God, and we encourage people to learn and grow, continue to expand your knowledge. Whatever field that you're in, if you do not continue to expand your knowledge these days, you're going to be left behind. You got to keep doing that. Get educated, but most important, get educated in the Word of God, because that's what will spur you to the blessings and the success that God wants you to have. Work hard. Work. Be in a work environment. Encourage. Be an encourager in your work environment. Encourage others. Be a blessing. And of course, in your religious community, be a part. Allow people to speak into your life. Share with other people. These things are so very important in our life. They cause us to flourish. And this study that was done by Harvard proves that people flourish when they have these stable areas of their life. This is evidenced by high rates of happiness and life satisfaction. That's what we all want, is we want to be happy. We want to be content. We want to be satisfied with the things that we are doing and recognize and believe that we're doing something that makes a difference in this world, right? Isn't that what we all want? We want to, you know, we don't want to amass all these things, these blessings, these material things in our life and do nothing with it. We want to be a blessing to other people. We want to make a difference. If you didn't want to make a difference, I don't believe you'd be here at Bethel. Because you recognize that this is a place where we're trying our best to make a difference in our community and in our world. One thing I'm sure of, Jesus intended for his church to be a vehicle to help individuals flourish. That's part of it. And when we flourish, we have this outflow or blessings flowing out of us. In Matthew chapter 2, or chapter 25, I'm sorry, 25 verse 37 through 40, it says this, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king, Jesus, will answer and say to them, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." It's really very simple, isn't it? Flow into other people's lives. Let it flow out of us. Let these blessings flow. And we'll be pleasing to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's look at some things that we can do. How can we effectively outflow these blessings into others' lives? Well, my first point is that we must listen and dialogue with people. Dialogue, of course, is the exchange of spoken words between two or more people. So we have to converse with people, but dialogue is more than talking. Dialogue is sharing and letting other people dialogue or talk as well. So we must listen carefully to other people. As Christians, the number one blessing we possess is salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen? You do believe that, don't you? That's the most important blessing that we have, is to share Jesus. And our desire, I believe, is to share this gift, especially especially with family and friends. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." The greatest way, the best way for us to reach family, friends, people that we come in contact with, is with love. Reach them with love. Sometimes these people that are closest to us are some of the most difficult for us to reach. So it's very important that we avoid arguing with people about theology. They may have the worst theology you've ever heard of, but I can tell you this, arguing with them about it is not going to accomplish anything. Arguing with somebody just makes them a little more convinced of their perspective rather than yours. One of the illustrations was in that book, and I thought about doing this, but I think I'll just talk about it. It was to have two people come together and put their hands together like this. And then the first one would say, "I'm right." And then the next one would say, "No, I'm right. And I'm right." And then you just keep elevating. "I'm right. No, I'm right. I'm the one that's right." And it's naturally, when we start getting enthusiastic or excited about something, we get more forceful. And what we would be doing is pushing the other person away. So if we're so convinced that we are right, and it's more important for us to convey our opinion than it is to love that individual, we are not going to embrace them. We're going to push them away. That's why the love approach is so important. I know this, more people are loved into the kingdom than argued into the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying that we compromise our message. But we are all shaped by unique life experiences. And most of us believe that our perspective on something is the right one. And that may or may not be true. When it comes to the gospel, we know it's right because the Word of God tells us what is right. But there's a lot of other things that happen in our life that may or may not be true in regards to perspective. I'm not suggesting that truth is relative, like in moral relativism, the idea that there's no universal or absolute set of moral principles. We know that, and we stand on the Word of God as our moral guidance, the Bible. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know the real truth, and the ultimate judge is Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible is His truth, and we stand on that truth. So I'm not suggesting that we compromise this in any way. What I am suggesting is that although we believe our biblical view is the correct view, we must realize arguing with someone else, trying to convince them that our view is correct, may not be the best way of accomplishing that. We must remember that we do not all have the same life experiences. Life has been different for a lot of people. People's perspective is the way they see things. If you think that all toys are corrupt, guess what? Toy stores are very evil then, right? Now, most of us would say that's ridiculous. But if somebody really believes that, you're going to have a hard time changing their view on that. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Bible says also that that people are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So one of the things we must get out of our mind is that we're going to bring people to Jesus. All we're going to do is share the Word of God with people. The Holy Spirit's going to draw them. The Heavenly Father is going to draw them. And when He does, all we need to do is just get out of the way. Share the truth and get out of His way and let Him do a work in people's lives. If a person believes that God is a harsh taskmaster based on experience, and you tell them that God has a plan for their life, how do you think they're going to receive that? That's why I'm saying that we need to listen and dialogue with people. Listen to what they have to say. Maybe they've had some life experience that doesn't really line up with the Word of God, but in their mind, it's truth. If you had a harsh father and someone says your Heavenly Father loves you, how do you equate that with the experience that you've had? It can be very difficult. That's why the love of God has to be experienced by people. That's why the love of God has to be shown to people. That's our responsibility. That's allowing those blessings to flow out. In Acts chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scripture." That was Paul's typical way of sharing the Word of God. He would reason with people from the Word of God. And reasons means to converse, discourse, debate, discuss. So Paul went in and discussed the Scripture with them. In his book, How to Start a Kingdom Conversation, Dr. Duke Heller says the best way to engage a person in a spiritual conversation is to first chat with them using what he calls form, F-O-R-M. Now, I've heard other techniques similar to this, but basically, we need to recognize that when we're going to converse with people, when we're going to get to know people or find out what's going on in people's life, even people that we work with. Sometimes we work alongside people and we don't even know who they are. We don't know their life. We should inquire about the person's family. Find out what kind of relationships they have. Their occupation, recreation, motivation. Many times, these topics will open a door for us to be able to share spiritual things with people. Because all these things are very spiritual. You know, we're a whole being. Every part of our life is spiritual. Listen intently to people and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Over the years, I have learned that even though this Bible is truth, if we're not careful, we'll end up beating people with the Bible rather than sharing the love of Jesus Christ with them. We do need to show them what the Bible says. But they have to have confidence in you before you can even do that. Amen? So how can we effectively outflow? Inconvenient service. In Mark chapter 9, verse 35, and he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Servant, one who executes the commands of another, the commands of a master. This word is rendered in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, it's talking about deacons. It's rendered deacons. It's speaking of an office in the church established to take care of the financial distribution, especially to those who are in need. So being a servant means that we will do things above and beyond the call of duty. One of the things that I have learned with having chickens and rabbits and animals is that those animals depend on me. And it doesn't matter how cold it is outside in the morning. It doesn't matter what the weather's like. Sometimes it's pouring down the rain. I still have to get out of bed and go out and take care of those animals. I have to serve those animals. That's the same kind of attitude we have to have toward other people. Is that we have to be willing, we have to recognize that people may really be depending on us to hear the gospel. And for us to be able to do so, we have to pour into their life. We have to take some time. It's inconvenient many times to do things for other people. It's not always pleasant. You may have to get out of bed early in the morning or get out of bed late at night. You may have to do some things that are not necessarily fun and exciting. But when we pour ourselves into other people's, our blessings into other people's lives, it changes their attitude. They're willing to listen. They don't care about what you have to say until they find out how much you care about them. That's what they really care about. Let me share with you a letter. Richard Foster is a man that wrote this. It's called True Service. Self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. True service finds it almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large service. Self-righteous service requires external rewards. True service results true service results are many times hidden. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about results. True service is indiscriminate in its ministry. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims. True service ministers simply and faithfully because there is a need. Self-righteous service is temporary. True service is a lifestyle. Self-righteous service is without sensitivity. It insists on meeting the need only when it is convenient. True service can withhold the service True service can withhold the service as freely as perform it. Self-righteous service fractures community. True service, on the other hand, builds community. And I would say amen to that. It builds community in a church when we have true service. So how can we effectively show and flow, outflow? Move beyond our comfort zone sometimes. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So who is this neighbor that we're to love? The person next door lives beside of us? Well, there's more to it than that. We know that. But that's a good place to start. How many of us really know our neighbors? How many of us really take the time to get to know our neighbors and spend some time conversing with them, finding out about them? I'll tell you, I'm guilty. There was a family that lived in this house right here. Is there anybody in here can tell me their name before they moved away? Isn't that sad? I can't. And I'm really, you know, after they moved away, I thought, man, God, we really missed it with that family. We should have been over there talking to them and finding out about them and inviting them. And we didn't do it. I'm guilty. Look, I'm not condemning any of you. They moved away. Now the new family recently, we have conversed with them a little bit. Tammy recently talked to them, and I have good intentions. I intend to go over and talk with them. They do go to church. They go to church in Athens. In fact, they go to Grace, which was the church that Otis and Ivy went to. So they are believers, and they go to church, and that's awesome. We're not trying to steal them from a church. But my point is that we miss it so often because we fail to reach out to people that are closest to us, right around us. And I want to encourage you to get out there. Get to know your neighbors. Pour into their life. Pour your blessings into their life. Some of them just might come to this church if you share the love of Jesus Christ with them. Jesus made it very clear in Luke chapter 10, verse 27 through 37. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And rather than read that this morning, I'm just going to talk a little bit about it. Of course, the story is that a man, a Hebrew, was on his way taking a trip to another town, and he got molested by thieves, beat up. They stole things from him. And religious people came by, churchgoers. Not only churchgoers, but priests and teachers of the law. People who should know what God's word says. And instead of helping the man, they walked by without paying any attention to him. And then along came a Samaritan who the Jews hated. The Hebrews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. It goes way back, goes all the way back to the time of the invasion by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians putting removing the northern kingdoms and putting some of their people in that area, and those people began to mingle their religious beliefs, the Hebrew beliefs, along with pagan beliefs, and their beliefs were not pure beliefs, and there was a conflict between the Jewish people and the Samaritans, and they hated one another. Nehemiah wouldn't allow them to be a part of the building of the temple and worship. And that made more conflict happen. But during Jesus' time, Jesus wanted to heal that. That's the reason he went to Samaria and preached his good news to them. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he spoke into a woman's life there to the well. And she went and told everybody how Jesus had told her everything that had ever happened in her life. And God, Jesus ministered to them. But this Samaritan went by and saw this Jew, and he helped him, and he took him, and he took care of him, and he bandaged him, and he paid for him to be able to stay in a motel while he was went away. He reached out to him, and Jesus said, "Which one was the neighbor to this guy?" And of course, they had to say, "The Samaritan." I bet it just tore them up inside to say so. But the truth was, it was the one that was willing to minister to them. That was the real neighbor. Anyone in need is our neighbor. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus spending time with what? The Hebrews, the Jews, thought was the scum of society. Sinners and tax collectors. Now, sometimes we have that same opinion of tax collectors, but what we need to recognize is that God loved all these people. These people were hated during this time. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 14, and he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the disciples and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him sitting, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" See, they had this opinion that there was only good people could come into the kingdom of God. And if we're not careful, we'll get that same opinion and same approach. Are those people, are there a certain kind of people that God's looking for? Yes, those who cry out to him. And it doesn't matter what station in life they're in. If they will allow him to touch their life, they can be what we would consider a sinner, a prostitute, a drug dealer. They can be a tax collector. God even saves them. Could be any number of things, a drunkard, an abuser, a spouse abuser, an adulterer, fornicators, any number of sins that the Bible talks about. God is looking for those people. And he's expecting us to be his vehicle to reach out to them. Susie shared with me, I'll try to get this story right, something that happened at the St. Albans Church. a particular pastor came there and encouraged them to do outreach. And one of the things that he had them do was there was a particular area where there are strip clubs. Is that correct, Susie? There were strip clubs there. And he encouraged the people, and he took the people out to minister to the ladies as they were coming in and out of the strip club, bringing them gifts and just being kind to them. Well, I'm sorry, what? Just women. Just the women, yeah. Yeah, women ministering to women. Yeah, okay. That's very good. That's a real important detail here. And as they ministered to these young ladies, some of them started coming to church and some of them received Christ as their personal Savior. And over a period of time, it didn't happen immediately, but over a period of time, I want to make sure this is correct, those strip clubs actually shut down. Is that correct? They're no more. Now, is it more effective to share the love of Jesus Christ in that fashion, or to go down with signs and picket and protest a strip club? I can tell you what you will do. If you do that, you will make enemies. But if you reach out in love, we don't have strip clubs nearby, thank God. But there are so many opportunities in our community for us to reach out and touch people that we may think are beyond the love of Jesus Christ. And all they're looking for is someone who cares enough to say, I love you. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the future, I really hope for us to be able to expand on this idea of being able to reach out in the community. Some of the things I'd like to do in the summer is do some outdoor activities in various places, take our bands, our music, and do some worship, public worship, and, you know, maybe do some bounce houses and all kinds of things that just ministers to our area and our community. Reach out. I'm asking you to come up with some ideas, some ways that we can reach some people that's not being reached. Surely there are areas in this our surrounding communities that are not receiving the love of Jesus Christ. Whether it's just going to a housing development somewhere, or maybe apartments. Low-income apartments or apartments that we feel like people need to hear or receive the gospel, just going there and loving them, sharing with them, doing some good things for people. There's opportunities. They abound. And it's going to take our creativity as a church to figure out what to do and how to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for your goodness, for your power. We know, Lord, that you are available and you have abundance for us. You pour your blessings out upon us. Help us, Lord God, not to be like that man that built bigger barns and hoard all the blessings that you have for us. Help us to pour those blessings into others' lives. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity here at Bethel to be a witness for Jesus, to love others, to allow those blessings to flow out of us into other people's lives. Lord, today we just praise you and thank you. We give you glory and honor. And as we leave this place, Lord, help us. Stir our hearts. Help us to always be thinking, Lord God, we're going out into a mission field, and wherever we go, there should be opportunity to flow into others' lives. Thank you, Lord. that you're stirring our hearts and minds in this area. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.